Good morning. We'll get ready for our Christmas specials and just give you an idea of the flow for the next couple of weeks here. Of course, today, and then a week from today, the 26th, we will not have a early class, but we'll have the 9:45 class at that day. So next week, no early class at this time, but it will be at 10:45, be their normal class. Then Friday, we'll have the 7 o'clock class that we normally always have on New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9. And then the 2nd, we will have two classes. I'll be back the 2nd, and we will do both classes early Sunday morning. And then the 8th will be going back into the flow. So, any questions? All right, we got that one done. So today is everything normal. 26th, no class early. Friday night, we'll have the 7 o'clock class. And then the 2nd, we will have both classes and on that morning. So that'll be their schedule. Phil has medical problems, and so needs to be under our prayers. And so let's pray for Phil at this time. And so let's get ready for our study in the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the birth of Jesus Christ. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for His sinless life. And then, Heavenly Father, His death, resurrection. So, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will guide us in our studies. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to study the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I would dare say very few are aware of what we're going to be studying. And that's just the way it is right now. But if I'm the pastor, that's what we're going to do. So Roman numeral 1 is definition and description. Definition and description, virgin birth, born of a virgin. Now, A under all of that, as the term relates to miraculous pregnancy of Mary. What we're dealing with is the magnificent, miraculous pregnancy of Mary. And point one, the virgin birth really should be called virgin pregnancy, not virgin birth. It should be virgin pregnancy. For it refers to the fact that Mary, while a virgin, became pregnant without cohabitation. So that's what happened with Mary. 2, Mary was supernaturally, spiritually conceived. She was caused to be with child by the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. So let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll be looking at the Word of God for a while. So let's start off with Matthew chapter 1. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, and let's look at verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, that's Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that's sexually, before they came together, she was found to be with child and this time by the Holy Spirit. So, while here, while we're at this point, just a note that Matthew, we begin the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. So verse 1 and 2 of Matthew, the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, so if you want to take a look, talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, we start with the king, that's David, but even beyond that, we go to Abraham. So verse 2, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, and then it just continues on at that point. Now, we have the king of Israel, so we begin with David, and then go to Abraham. Now let's look at verse 3. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now, this is interesting. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron was the father of Ram. Now, what's interesting, the name of women is not generally followed in Jewish genealogy. It's just not done. But there are a few specifications chosen women in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So our part of study this year, let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, let's drop down now to verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly because she was pregnant, but not by him. So I guess we could say he had a bona fide reason. Not many men can follow that one. So he was not aware of that, so he was going to just pass her on in secret to somewhere else. Now, verse 20. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord. Now, the angels and the angelic conflict play a vital part to the birth of Jesus Christ in our whole study. They're both of them today. So here we have an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David. So he jumps there all the way over from himself down to David. Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child he has been conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Verse 24, and Joseph, awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Verse 25, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and she called his name Jesus. So, Joseph had an interesting part in all of this, being the mother, or the wife, the husband of Mary. He had a lot to do with all that was going on. Now, looking back now at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 31. Luke 1, 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, God, of course, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. So we're told now his origin, of his growth, of his genealogy. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Think about that. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? I'm not pregnant. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Okay. Now, in genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on way back to Adam. Now let's look back at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 23. Luke 23 of Luke 3. And he began his ministry. Jesus himself was about 30 years old, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. Now, the genealogy of the Lord in Luke goes back to Adam. Now look at Luke chapter 3, verse 23, which we read. Now jump to verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Now what I wanted to do there, Luke views Jesus as the Son of Man. So he begins with Adam. He's the Son of Man. He's the son of the in the Jewish line. So they begin with Abraham and David. But beginning with the human race begins with Adam. Now, point three. We've done point one. Virgin birth, should be called the virgin pregnancy. Then point two, Mary was supernaturally conceived. And now point three. Child she gave birth to was God incarnate. John the Christ. Jesus the Christ. Now, point to B. First of all, A, we dealt with the term that was related to pregnancy, should be the pregnancy of Mary. Now, B, as term relates to unique birth of Jesus. One, virgin birth refers to unique birth in all history, that is, the birth of Jesus Christ. Two, by the virgin birth, God entered the human race as perfect member of the human race, incarnation of God-man Jesus Christ. God lowered himself and to become a member of the human race. That's the wonder here. Now, point three. Jesus was therefore born apart from human copulation. In this way, Jesus Christ came into the world without imputation of Adam's sin. So now we start thinking about it. In this way, Jesus Christ came into the world without imputation of human sin, of the Adam's sin. That is, without a sin nature. Jesus came into birth without a sin nature. Jesus Christ entered the world as sinless, perfect member of the human race. In this sense, Jesus Christ is the second Adam. In this sense, he's the second Adam. He came into the world as Adam was created. You understand? He came into the world as Adam was created without sin nature. Adam came into the human race without sin nature. Jesus came into the human race without the sin nature. So that is the nature of flesh. To sin, he did not come. Jesus Christ was born sinless, without sin nature, and he lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. And as we will see, was therefore qualified to die for the human race. He did not have any sin nature. He did not have any sin in his life to qualify to go to the cross and die for the human race. As one man, Adam, caused all to possess sin nature. Because of Adam, all members of the human race are born now with a sin nature, condemned at birth. One man, second man, second Adam, Jesus Christ, redeemed all mankind. Now, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay, do you understand what's happening here? Verse 22. For in Adam, first Adam, all died. So also in Christ, the second Adam, in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, jump down to verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. So also, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Okay? So we have them, both of them now talked about, both Adams. Now, I hope you understand point one. Now let's go to point two. Point two. Necessity of the virgin birth. Why there had to be a virgin birth? Why need a virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Why did Jesus Christ have to become man by the virgin birth? Why not just on earth? Now, A, here's the problem. The problem. In Adam, all die. in Adam all die. One, every member of the human race is born into the human race spiritually dead. Everyone is born into the human race spiritually dead. That is, the born spiritually dead. We are born into the world under condemnation. That's how we're born. Not when we commit our first sin. You don't wait till your first sin to be a sinner. You're born a sinner. Now, I just want to say personally, I would bring this up when you talk to somebody you love or know that just had a baby. I don't think I'd be going into, well, this baby is a sinner and all of that. I'd just let it go at this time, and you know what's going on. But I wouldn't bring that up. Now.
So you mean baby is not innocent?
Not innocent. Not innocent. His mother and dad are not innocent, and it is not innocent. And I wouldn't bring that up. Okay. That's a problem. Now, two. We are born into the human race with a sin nature. That's how we're born into the human race. Three, the sin nature is passed down to each member of the human race through or by the father. This is very important. The sin nature is passed down through one family to another, one person to another, is by their family, their father, through the male in copulation. So the father is the sin carrier. Any question? Okay, four. So, one has to come into the human race without receiving sin nature from the male. You understand that? If the Savior is going to come, he's going to have to come through without the male being involved. In other words, without Joseph being involved in this case. So, this is their problem and what we're going to be doing with it. B. How sin nature death originated. How the sin nature of death originated. One, first Adam before the fall. So we're going to look at Adam before the fall. One, so here's five things I want you to get into understanding about him at this time. One, true humanity. Unblemished. No sin. Two, minus sin nature. Called, the old man, the carnal nature and things. Three, plus the human spirit. Fellowship with God. Four, human soul, fellowship with mankind. And then five, a body to house his soul. So there's Adam in his birth at this time. Okay, two, human race after the fall. Here's the human race after the fall, the result of the fall. Going to be looking at three things. Imputed sin, inherited sin, personal sin. All are important. Imputed sin from Adam results in born spiritually dead. Every member of the human race is born with an imputed sin. Two, inherited sin. Sin nature, running through the body. And then three, now you're ready for personal sin, result of having a sin nature. So we're all born, imputed sin, then from Adam, then we're all born, inherited sin, sin nature, and then because of having that, three personal sins. So, don't go blaming your children because there's little sinners. You can talk about the Father, but even that, that's part of God's plan. All members of the human race are born spiritually dead. All members of the human race are born spiritually dead because they are not only born without a sin nature, carnal, old man, but also a direct imputation of Adam's original sin. Sin of Adam is imputed, passed on to all, just like many other attributes are passed on by the Father, so the sin nature is passed on by the Father. Dead by imputation. By the way, the record, all females also have a sin nature. All females have a sin nature, but it is not passed on through them. It is not passed on to their children. They are carried by passed on a sin nature. They carry it, but they do not pass it on. So the women, mothers in birth, they have a sin nature. I won't get involved with that. If you're going to get married, there's a truth reality you need to be aware of and not be upset about it, because it's there. But they do not pass it on to the children. That's what we just looked at. That's what the Father does. He passes on the sin nature. Therefore, virgin birth is the only way. The virgin birth is the only way of virgin pregnancy, the only way to become a member of the human race without receiving a sin nature. So if there's going to be a sin nature or have a perfect sin nature, it's going to have to be without any involvement with a man. So, yes?
As I understand too, the man passes from children, it's the blood. So the Holy Spirit would be Jesus' blood. So it would be different if they don't... I don't know exactly how to... But when men pass... Okay, to our children. So that's why the Holy Spirit had to impregnate her, even because of the blood. It had to be precious from God.
Well, we'll take a look at why her... in a few moments. There's a very, very special reason why she is chosen at this time. Very important. Okay. Therefore, the virgin birth is the only way to become a member of the human race without receiving a sin nature passed on by the mother, by the father, and without being born physically alive, but spiritually dead. The only way you can have that to happen is no man involved. Jesus Christ had to enter the human race apart from sin. So he had to become in apart from sin, apart from imputation of Adam's sin, and apart from having a sin nature. God did this by virgin pregnancy. Virgin birth. Now, only issue is for Jesus Christ is live a sinless life. He had to come into the world without a sin nature, but continuing, he had to live entire life with no sin. No sin at all. So, there's the two great issues for him. One, he's born without it. Two, he has to live without it. So that's what's going on. Now we go to C. Why sin nature is passed through the male? Why the sin nature pass through the male. Why is sin nature passed down through the male? In Adam, all sin. Why is that? Why did God decide to pass the sin nature through the male? Setting spiritual miracle of the need of the virgin pregnancy. Okay? One. This is because it was the male, Adam, who when he was when he sinned in the garden, he sinned in cognizance. He knew exactly what he was doing. That is, he knew what he was doing, while the woman, we'll see in a few moments, sinned in ignorance. So here we have the man. We've taken a look of both of them born. Now, what happened after they were born? Adam became a sinner. Why? Jesus Christ didn't. Why did Adam? Because Adam chose to sin. He chose to disobey with God, not obey God. Okay. First thing I want you to do, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yes.
If Adam chose to sin, when Eve decided to partake the forbidden fruit, then what's the difference? Because she has to make up her mind to do this.
I'm going to cover her. Got to cover her. Good question. Got to come to her. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, let me get my glasses on here, 14, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. In other words, at God there was a very big issue. Adam, just right, he knew, I'm sinning. She didn't know that. She didn't know that. How could she not know that? I'm going to tell how it did, but just to answer the question, Satan says to him, to her, if you'll do this, you'll be like God. Ah, I want to be like God, I'll do it. So she's deceived. She's not sinning on purpose the way Adam did. She chose to sin. Okay? So let's take a look now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, and it was not Adam who was deceived. That means that Adam will have been deceived. But the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Okay. Something extremely important is here for the eye that we'll see. And it is directly related to why Jesus Christ entered the human race as he did through the virgin pregnancy. Verse 14, because the woman was deceived. Now, I want to take verse 14, and now I want you to read, or look at your New American Standard, but I want to read the NIV. The NIV says, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Now, the NASB, New American Standard, Adam was deceived, while the woman was quite deceived. Look at verse 14, what it says about what happened with the woman. But the woman being quite deceived. That's very important. See? The aorist passive indicative. Aorist passive indicative. That means point in time, passive voice, you receive it. Negative is reality of apato. To be deceived. seduced into error, while with the woman, aorist passive participle is compound ekapato, which intensifies the root word. Deceived completely. Thoroughly deceived. This is not reason why I prefer, this is why I prefer the NASB and the New American Standard, the New American Standard over the NIV, because of that very important thing. The woman being quite deceived is very important. Now, it was not Adam who was deceived. Adam sinned deliberately. Adam sinned deliberately. He knew exactly what he was doing. We will take a look at love of Adam and Eve later, if we have time. They gave up it. Adam gave up in the garden, and love of Jesus Christ gave up heaven. Understand that? What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ could have said, "I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin." He'd have gone into heaven, sinless. But he chose to sin. So
you're saying Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ chose to sin.
Jesus did.
Huh?
Adam.
Jesus Christ. He took the sins of the world.
Oh.
He took the sins of the world.
Yeah.
Took them all himself. So, Adam, but Adam, out of selfish love, joined her in transgression, while Jesus Christ, out of his love, will be judged in behalf of the human race. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the woman, being quite deceived, aorist passive participle, compound, thoroughly deceived, passive voice, will receive being deceived. Receive being deceived because she wanted to be deceived. She wanted to be. She wanted to be like God and was ready to believe anything Satan told her. The action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. The woman was thoroughly deceived before the man fell. Got it? But she didn't carry the sin nature, even though she was first, she didn't carry the sin nature. The woman did. Okay? That's all understood. And why and what happened with the Adam and Jesus Christ on the cross. Alright. Adam chose to sin for love. Jesus Christ chose to sin for love. So he died as the first Adam did. Now, the Eve...
Wouldn't that be better said, Herman, that he took on the sins of the world? Or it sounds like he chose to sin.
He chose it by choosing to take the woman, the bride, the woman of the human race, as his. So if he said no, he would not have had it. He would not have had the love of the marriage of the church age. Okay? Alright, point two. The woman, picture of the human race, was the first to sin in the garden. She stopped trusting God. She then deceived to usurp authority of God and be like God. Therefore, when offered an opportunity to be like God by Satan, the serpent, She grabbed it. I want to be like God. She believed the lie. She was deceived that eating of the fruit would make her like God. Why would she believe such a ridiculous lie? Why would she believe that? Why was she deceived? Because she stopped trusting God. Why was she deceived? She stopped trusting God. And when we stop trusting God, we are ready to be deceived. We are ready to lie. Study of Samson is a good study on this. By the way, Satan came to the woman, attacked her, deceived her, instead of the man. Now why was that? Think about this. Why did he go to the woman and not to the man? See? The man is in authority over the woman. Had the Adam been first, she would have protested that she sinned simply listening to what her authority said. So Satan came and deceived the woman first. So she would not just be deceived by obeying the authority of her husband and saying that, and so, well, that's why I sin. It's all God, it's Adam's fault. She couldn't say that. So that's what happened with her. Question? Okay. 3. Woman sinned first. Deceived, but acquired a sin nature. The death of man, deceived, secondly, but deliberately. Deliberately, and acquired the sin nature. 4. Because the woman was deceived in the fall. Because the woman is deceived in the fall, God made a decision not to pass the sin nature through the woman, but through the man. 5. On the other hand, the man, Adam, was not deceived. He chose to sin out of love. He refused to trust God and ate of the fruit. Adam sinned deliberately. No deception, no illusion. He looked at her physically, body, and looked at her and said, I'm gone. I'm gone. That's it. I'm going to follow her. So that's what happened with him. Adam sinned deliberately. No deception, no delusion. And therefore, God made a decision that sin nature, therefore, sin death would be passed down through the male in Adam, all sin. God's great and gracious plan of redemption, of salvation, reconciliation, was set into motion when Adam sinned. This is our God. You want to understand God. This is our God. At this point, He saw sin. He used it to bring a blessing into mankind. That's what God did. We are born into the world, into the human race, when at point of death, a point of birth, God created and gave us a human soul. We are born spiritually dead, under condemnation, have a sin nature. We are not sinners under the condemnation when we commit a personal sin. We commit a personal sin because we are born under sin. That's what we do. Now, 6. Necessity of the virgin birth. necessity of the virgin birth is based on the fact that the sin nature, death, is passed down to every member of the human race through the Father. Point six, necessity of the virgin birth, because the sin nature is passed down through the Father. Because in Adam, man sinned deliberately, while the woman was deceived. She was deceived. With that in mind, look at Romans 5.
Herman, I just want to make a comment. That is so much where we can understand why she was deceived and Adam sinned. It just puts it all in perspective as to why she was deceived and what Adam...
A lot of people don't know this.
I know.
They did not understand it. But I'm the teacher, so that's what we're going to do. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world. Now, that's Adam. And death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Death spread. Now, the NIV says, death came. Here the NIV, again, misses what is going on just enough where you cannot see it. The King James hits it good. Past. See? Past. Which is also better. Even better than spread. See? Aorist active indicative of the verb, which is made up of the preposition prefix through and to come to go, or what? So what do we have? Death is passed on or passed through. That's why I like it. It is passed through all human race from one man, Adam. In Adam, all died. So, spiritual death is passed on to all the human race through one man, Adam, and by or through the male. Passed on through by Adam, passed through the male from one to the next generation to the next. Okay. Got that? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Adam is father of death. We are all born of Adam. Likewise, all who are born of Jesus Christ are born alive. So here we have again the three great issues: imputed sin, inherent sin, personal sin. You've got to know all three. Imputed sin from Adam. Result is born spiritually dead. Inherited sin, sin nature. This is the difference. Sin nature running through the body. Then you come to the third one, personal sins. Result of having a sin nature. So I hope you got all three of these now. Imputed sin, inherent sin, personal sin. You need all three. Imputed sin, we all get it from Adam. Inherent sin, that's your sin nature that runs through your body. And then your personal sin, because you do have a sin nature. From Adam, every born of Adam, male, copulation, is born into the human race spiritually dead. Imputed sin from Adam. And with sin nature, inherited sin. Inherited sin. And therefore, we commit personal sins. So I hope you understand now. Imputed, inherent, personal. Again, we are not condemned when we commit a personal sins. We are already under condemnation. We are born spiritually dead. We're born physically. A penalty of sin is spiritual death. So we're all born that way. In Christ, all will be made alive. Let's look at what Jesus Christ does. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are born, we are made spiritually alive, freed from the penalty of sin. Forever! Just one time, free, it's over. Through power of the Holy Spirit given to us because we are in Christ, we now are released from the power of sin. Now, this is also very important of what we're studying with the new covenant that we just repeated. In the millennium, it changes again. In the millennium, man cannot sin because the whole Holy Spirit is going to be empowering them. So there'll be a line of Jews, who will not be able to sin in the millennium. So that's because it's passed down through them at that point. Both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are said to give life. Different, but similar. Both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are givers of life. Now let me just give you the passages. You can take a look at them. Job 33:4. Ezekiel 37:14. John 6:63. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I like getting both down. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Also, finally, 2 Corinthians 3:6.
What was the last one?
Is 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. And we have time just for point seven. For her sin, her refusal to continue to trust God. Once we stop trusting God, we sin. We disobey. We reject His authority over our lives. For her failure to trust, she was placed under a curse. And that curse is related to her body. And that curse will give her a great blessing. That curse will give her the birth of Jesus Christ. So this we have the whole picture of the scene. And then finally, point eight. So, the woman comes under two curses, as also the male. First, in her own physical birth, spiritual death. Secondly, her womb. She received womb as a curse. In her womb, she carried a curse. Then, out of that womb, comes another curse, spiritual death, by all who are born of women, who do not receive spiritual death by eating the tree of good and evil. Who we receive spiritual death by simply receiving a human life. So, this will be where we'll stop tonight, tomorrow, and we'll pick it up, not next Sunday. Next Sunday, no class, but then the next Sunday, I want to finish this. It's that important. So we'll finish this up at that point. But any question and all what we studied at this point? All right, let's begin. We'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so difficult to grasp all these things, to understand all these things. But your Holy Spirit can teach us from the Word of God. Your Spirit, Heavenly Father, teaches us why Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. Why the woman carries the sin, carries the solution to sin. Why the man carries the sin nature. So many things are involved. We thank you so much for the Word of God. Calls us to understand these things. Calls us to rejoice in them. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.